everybody in this weekend. So we're looking forward to getting out on the field over the next 3 days and working with a lot of new guys, new faces. And obviously we have a lot of information to give them on, in every area, not just football, but the whole transition to becoming a professional athlete. And in most cases for these guys relocating to a part of the country that they're not too familiar with. So we have a lot of ground to cover, but I think it's a group that so far seems attentive and eager, and like a lot of groups at this time of year, this group of guys is a pretty similar group to many that we've had in the past. And so we'll just take it day by day and one step at a time, with a lot of ground to cover, and you know, hopefully we can catch them up as soon as possible so they can compete with some of the other guys that are on our team as we move into the spring and eventually get ready for training camp.
This group of 19 rookie free agents that were just announced is a sizable class compared to last year. Seems like it's pretty sizable compared to most years, but is this the most that you've had of rookie free agents?
I don't think it's the most, but it's probably bigger than it's been the last couple of years. Certainly the roster expansion in the 90 has been part of that since the, when was that, 11? I mean, we had the World League exemptions and all that in there, but so it's a few more spots one way or another that are opened up, but also probably just a little bit of a commentary on the youth of the team.
Does that at all affect the way you approach a minicamp when you have more bodies this year, let's say, that, I mean, almost triple?
Well, last year it was a little bit different situation, and of course the year before there wasn't one, so the other one then we go back to is 10, but last year, if you remember, we had our mini camp the second week of May, which led right into the rookies off-season program. This year, we can't do that quite as easily because of the timing. So we decided to go ahead and have it this week and get them in and try to get them oriented as quickly as possible. And then there'll be a break before they can come back for the whatever it is, the 13th. So that's, you know, that's the way we'll do it this time. So, yeah, a few larger number we'll be able to do. Hopefully a little bit more group and teamwork than we have with, I think it was 15 guys we had last year or something like that.
Bill, what did you see in Aaron Dobson that made you think he could contribute in this system at this level?
You know, Aaron had a good career at Marshall. I mean, he's a big player that can run, has good hands.
Boyce, do you see him as an inside guy or an outside guy
or a person? We'll see. You know, he's a pretty smart kid. I think he learns well. So we'll see what he's able to handle and what he's able to execute on the field.
Bill, Armstead and Vega, with their CFL experience, does that put them ahead of this group in some ways?
I think the fact that they've been here for a couple weeks probably puts them ahead, just that they've been around our off-season program and been doing drills with the coaches this week. The previous 2 weeks have been really conditioning work, but I think that's probably given a little bit of an edge. I don't know, you know, how much they did or didn't get out of Canada. You have to ask them that.
What will the rookies actually know when they hit the field this morning? Like any plays or anything?
Yeah, probably a handful of plays. So we can go out, you know, and talk about some fundamentals, go out there and see if we can get them executed and then build on that tomorrow and Sunday. And then when we come back, it'll be a review of those plus, you know, a lot more. I mean, it's not so much the amount of plays as it is understanding the concepts and fundamentals, our communication system, you know, again, the overall fundamentals and techniques that we play that will transcend into other calls, because there's some element of a lot of our basic fundamentals in every call, not everybody doing the same thing, but a lot of those concepts carry over from play to play or call to call.
On Armstead, his style of play, like where do you see him fitting? Is that more of an interior defensive line position for him?
He's done both, so we'll see how it goes.
More in the defensive line group for him than, let's say, like not like a hybrid outside.
No, he's 295 pounds. Yeah, no, he's not a linebacker.
Thank you.
but he has played in. He has played tackle. He's played three techniques, played one technique. You know, he's played on the end of the line, so we'll see how it goes.
You mentioned Jamie Collins and his versatility, and came in as a safety, then was off the line linebacker, then played defensive end. You know, his final position. When you have a guy that can do that much, like, where do you start today? Like, at step one, with a player like that.
I'd say he'll work primarily at linebacker, but we'll see how that goes. Again, you know, he's done different things, and eventually, as we go through the spring, we'll look at him in different spots and. See how it goes with him, and also see how it goes with him relative to other players that we have, and what kind of groupings or you know, how the team breaks up, where he might be able to help us, or where things are, you know, come together the best for him. So we'll have to put all that together as we go. Not sure exactly how it's going to turn out.
Is getting a bigger rotation at the linebacker position something the team may stress this year, bringing Collins in?
I don't know. Put the best players out there that we can, that we think we need to win. And that may change from week to week, so I'm not sure.
Bill, you mentioned this being an eager group of guys. What else are you looking for out of them in these next 2 days?
That they, just to get them on in step with our program, all the way from top to bottom, and every aspect of it, not just on the field, but off the field, training, conditioning, relocating, becoming a professional athlete. They're not in college anymore, so it's a lot of transition for those guys to make. And on the field's part of it, but there's another bigger part of it too. So we'll try to gain as much ground as we can in these few days and then build on it when they come back in May.
This may sound like a silly question, but do you ever deal with homesickness? Like, I saw some guys tweeting, getting on the plane, gonna miss mom, she's my rock. Is that something you personally talk to them about or have to deal with?
Well, sure. I mean, you know, that's all a whole part of the relocation system. And, you know, every guy's situation is different, so I don't think there's any, like, set book on it. You know, some guys come by themselves, some guys come with somebody else, you know, a wife or a partner, or it could be a family member. So it's, everybody's got their own situation, and most of them are not from here, you know, like in draft. You know, most of these guys are from areas other than in New England, you know, probably 90% of them. So yeah, there's all the elements of relocation. There's housing, there's transportation, there's, you know, all the basic services that we all need. There's friends, there's family, and, you know, all those connections. So, you know, I'd say each one's different.
You've spoken in the past how important the undrafted free agents that you bring in can be. You have a large group of them. Are there a couple who stood out to you as being really happy that you were able to secure their services here?
And I'd say we're glad we have everybody that's here, and we'll see how it goes. You know, I don't know. We'll see how that group all comes together.
Entering the draft with 5 picks, did you actually maybe spend more time with, like, this level of player that maybe you projected to be in that late round rookie free agent type in terms of, like, workouts, visits, you know, because you knew you might be more active with?
We had two seventh round picks going into the draft, and you know, then 3 after the first day. But, you know, I mean, we definitely had to. But, I mean, we always work this area of the draft, so it's not – I don't want to say, well, we worked on it this year, we didn't work on it last year. That would be totally inaccurate. So we knew we had 2 seventh-round picks. So, I mean, definitely we looked at, you know, a group of players relative to that basic location in the draft. But we did everybody in the draft, and we did, as we usually do, the guys that we felt like may not get drafted. And so that's a pool of players. And then at the end of the draft, there are a group of guys that we had – grades on where we thought they would get drafted, but they didn't. And we'll try to sign some of those. And that's always the way it goes too. You just don't know which players those are going to be necessarily, but there's usually the group you know, I'd say below the line that you think aren't going to get drafted. And I'd say for the most part, most of those players didn't get drafted, but there were some that we thought would that didn't. And so they were part of the free agency process too.
I know you mentioned like the Rutgers program has like the way they do things has some similarities to the way the Patriots do things. So you know you're getting maybe a guy that has been exposed to the type of program that he's going to be coming into. On the same lines, how unique was it to for the Penn State kids that you signed as free agents here to watch them and maybe see like were they doing the same thing like Stankiewicz? Was he doing the same
offensively? Thing? Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm sure that. A lot of our terminology and a lot of the things that we did were are pretty similar to the way they did them. Probably, you know, different but similar to the situation when Charlie went to Notre Dame type of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bill, beyond the 19 free agents, is there another group here for tryouts, apparently including a quarterback? And exactly how big is that group?
We have another group of players that are not under contract that are here for tryouts. Some of those are rookie players. Some of them are veteran players.
How many do you know?
Like three or four. It's a little bit in flux. We had a couple guys that are coming or going. One guy that was going to come ended up signing somewhere else. Another guy... I think we might add to the list, so I'm not sure exactly where we are on that tryout number. But I'd say in the 3 to 4 range. I mean, it's not like 30 guys, I can tell you that.
When the draft ends, how soon do you start calling the undrafted kids and telling them you're...
Well, we can't enter into any agreement with them until after the draft is over. So... say that the second that last pick is announced, then, you know, we have a number of scouts and coaches and people, you know, on the phone with either agents or players at that point trying to let them know of our interest and gauge their interest, and other teams are doing the same thing. So, you know, usually if you talk to a guy, he'll have, it could be anywhere from 2 to 20 teams have called or are calling or have interest, and then, again, you kind of have to figure out what level of interest you're at, whether that's competitive with what other teams are showing, and, you know, figure it all out. I mean, it's a pretty active market. It all comes down in a couple hours or so, and, you know, if you're trying to sign 10 to 15 guys, it gets, you know, it's kind of hectic in there after the draft, trying to figure out who you have, who you've lost, you know, who might be available, who's gone, that type of thing.
Certain number of spots
and
positions with these kids?
Well, we only have so many spots.
Right.
So we have to, you know, I mean, we can only have so many receivers, so many offensive linemen, so many defensive linemen, so many kickers, so many, you know. So, yeah, we have targeted number of guys. And, of course, that depends a little bit on what grade we have on them, how highly rated they were on the board. And those players take a higher – the higher the grade, the higher the priority of the player. But then there is a certain element of, you know, you need to try to get guys to have a certain number of players at a certain position so that you can effectively practice. So there's the juggling at the balance of all that.
Does that include quarterback to make sure?
Includes every position. Yeah, every position.
Bill, looking at Aaron Dobson, could have played college basketball. Do you find that skill set gives any advantage to him playing wide receiver, any of the things that are that he needs to do in basketball?
I don't think probably too much. I would say that just based on my experience as a coach through the years, that most basketball players, most have good hands. I mean, they have to handle the ball a lot, and ball's on them quick, you know, tight passes and, you know, handling the ball in traffic and that kind of thing. So, you know, usually when you get a basketball player, a good basketball player, those guys usually have pretty good ball skills in terms of handling the ball. Strong hands being able to keep it, and also, you know, quick hands being able to snatch it and, you know, handle it cleanly and you know, hopefully without losing it.
Over the years, Bill, are there any players that went on to have great careers here that really sort of stood out to you at minicamp that you sort of said when you first saw him here, you were kind of like, wow?
I wouldn't. It's not really anybody that comes to mind. I'd say most all those players are players that have gotten better, you know, that have, you know, improved along the way, you know, going all the way back to guys like Brady, you know, who didn't do anything his rookie year, or players like, you know, Mike Wright, guys that are on our roster now, like Wendell, guys like that. I mean, they just didn't, you know, jump from undrafted to, you know, big contributors. But I mean, we've had guys step in and contribute, you know, the Kyle Loves, the, I mean, you know, we can go back and find a lot of, you know, a lot of those guys. But I wouldn't say that there's anybody that just day one walked out here and, you know, lit it up. Steve Neal, I mean, you know, great story, but I mean, it was definitely a progression for Steve, like it was for a lot of guys.
It's exciting though for you just to get back to this sort of step one.
Yeah, no, definitely to be able to just, you know, work with the players, get them out on the field, and see the team come together. You know, you get a bunch of names on the board and cards and all that, but I mean, we didn't do throw the cards at them out there on opening day. You know, you gotta get players out there that can play and that can fit onto your team and contribute to your team. So now we'll start to see how all that, you know, how that really manifests itself into actual football instead of just, you know, a bunch of information on paper and cards and nameplates and stuff like that. Now we're getting to real, this is actually football. So yeah, it's good.
Do you get any time off?
You know, it's kind of you know, our low point is at the end of OTAs prior to training camp. But, you know, from the end of the season into the draft, free agency, after the draft, bringing the rookies in, OTAs, you know, it's all kind of, you know, one step after another. Okay. All right. Thanks.